Good morning. Thank you, Worship Leader. Our talk and conversation this morning starts with a story. This story is from the book called The Arrow of God by Megan McKenna. It's called The Parable. And this is the story. There was a woman who wanted peace in the world and peace in her heart and all sorts of good things. But she was very frustrated. The world seemed to be falling apart. She would read the newspapers and get depressed. One day she decided to go shopping. And she went into a mall and picked a store at random. She walked in and was surprised to see Jesus behind the counter. She knew it was Jesus because he looked just like the pictures she had seen on holy cards and devotional pictures. She looked again and again at him. And finally, she got up enough nerve and asked, "Excuse me, are you Jesus?" And Jesus said, "I am." "Do you walk here?" she said. Jesus said, "No, I own this store." "Oh, what do you sell in here?" she said. And Jesus said, "Oh, just about anything." "Anything?" "Yeah, anything you want." "What do you want?" Jesus asked. Like most of us, she said, "I don't know." "Well," Jesus said, "feel free, walk up and down the aisles, make a list, see what it is that you want, and then come back and we'll see what we can do for you." She did just that, walked up and down the aisles. There she saw there was peace on earth, no more war, no hunger or poverty, peace in families, no more drugs, harmony, clean air, careful use of resources. She wrote them down furiously. By the time she got back to the counter, she had a long list. Jesus took the list, skimmed through it, looked up and smiled. "No problem, mate." And then he bent down behind the counter and picked out all sorts of things, stood up and laid out the packets. Packets now. She asked, "What are these?" Jesus replied, "Seed packets, like the seed you plant." "This is a catalog store," Jesus said. She said, "You mean I don't get the finished product?" "No, this is the place of dreams," Jesus said. "You come and see what it looks like, and I give you the seeds. You plant the seeds, you go home and nurture them and help them to grow, and someone else reaps the benefits." "Oh," she said. And she left the store without buying anything. Now, what does this all mean? The title, "The Catalog Store, This is a Place of Dreams," or you can say "Place of Dreams," is a beautiful way to frame this teaching we are going to hear this morning. The story is really about the difference between wishing for a better world and becoming an instrument through which that better world can be created. What makes this story especially powerful is that Jesus doesn't refuse the woman's request at all. He gives her exactly what she needs, but not in the form she expected. He gives her seeds. Before I continue, do you remember the story of Gideon who was railing against God? Like, why do you allow this to happen to me and to our people? Why can't you do? And God decided, okay, you want this? Now I'm going to use you to do that. And Gideon was surprised, well, I don't think I'm capable and all of that. Go read that in the Bible. So let us continue with our explanation. What is the deeper meaning of the seed, we may ask? The seed is a spiritual symbol found across many spiritual paths and traditions. If you live in this world and you've eaten something, Some of you grew through some seeds. A seed contains a possibility, but not the finished result. It requires soil, water, sunlight, patience, protection, and care. In the same way, peace that we seek, justice that we seek, honesty, compassion, forgiveness, and wisdom are not commodities that can simply be purchased or wished into existence. They must be cultivated. That is why the line, "This is a catalog store, this place of dreams," is so profound. Because in this world of "I want it now, now, now," I had to learn that in 1975. The answer is no, no, no. Everything has its own. The spiritual life doesn't simply give us what we want. It gives us the capacity, responsibility, an opportunity to participate in bringing it about. They must be cultivated. That is why you meditate, you pray, all things happen. That is why the line, "This is a catalog store," now, let us talk about the different traditions, spiritual paths. Let's start with Christianity. Christianity gives us an insight by saying, "You reap what you sow." We've all heard that. I guess if you're going to sow something, I'm sure you see it. You reap what you sow. The Christian scriptures express this principle very directly in the book of Galatians. This is in New Testament now, chapter 6, verse 7. "Whatever one sows, that will he also reap." And Jesus repeatedly teaches that transformation begins with the individual. You want transformation in the world? It starts with you. Remember the song, "And let it begin with me." If we want peace in the world, we have to plant peace in our own relationships. The relationship with yourself, with others, with God, and all of that. If we want forgiveness, we have to become forgiving. If we want honesty, we have to tell the truth. Didn't we just did something about honesty is the best policy? If we want compassion, we have to practice compassion. Remember this song? Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sins against us. You have to do it. You can't ask God to forgive you and you won't forgive and all the malice and all of that. Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of God also suggests that something enormous can begin from something seemingly insignificant. Do you guys remember the mustard seed? As an example, the kingdom begins like a seed and grows. So the woman comes asking for the tree, and Jesus gives her the seed. That is often how spiritual transformation works. Everybody wants to be a master. Nobody wants to go through kindergarten. They just want to get their PhD right away. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. Now, in Judaism expresses that deeds make the vision real. Jewish spirituality places tremendous importance on action, not merely having good intentions. Don't they say good intentions pave the road? The prophetic tradition repeatedly calls people towards justice, mercy, righteousness, and care for the vulnerable. You go and look at the Old Testament, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all the prophets. They talk about justice and all, but what does that mean? You have to take action. Can't just be saying it. That's why Jesus talked about the parable of the Samaritan. Remember? Everyone was going, but he took care, he acted. The book of Micah, not Micah now, Micah, M-I-C-A-H, in the Old Testament, chapter 6, verse 8, expresses the principle beautifully. And this is what he says. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Notice the movement here. Do, love, walk. Spirituality isn't merely something we believe. It is something we practice. No practice, you're not going anywhere. You're going to go back to the old route where you came from in the first place. The woman wants peace on earth. Judaism asks, what are you doing today to make your corner of the earth more peaceful? That is planting the seed. That is why when we see all these wars and all of that, and we think we didn't contribute anything to it, well, I guess we're deceiving ourselves, aren't we? In Buddhism, it says intention becomes practice. Buddhism takes the seed metaphor even deeper through the principle of karma. We all know about karma, we've heard about it. Karma is not simply cosmic punishment and reward. At its heart is the understanding that intentional actions have consequences and that our habits shape the person we become. If I continually plant anger becomes easier. Isn't it? And then he gathers speed and everybody's angry. If I plant generosity becomes easier. If I plant mindfulness, awareness becomes stronger. If I plant compassion becomes more natural. So you want to contribute to that bowl, to that pool? Well, start with yourself. Light attracts light. The Buddha's teaching therefore moves us away from asking, why isn't the world the way I want it to be? And it takes us toward, what am I cultivating through my thoughts, words, and actions? The garden begins with, that's it. There's no way you can talk about Hinduism without talking. Referencing Bhagavad Gita. Hinduism and Bhagavad Gita says, do your part. The Bhagavad Gita gives us another dimension of this teaching. I have spoken before about Krishna's teaching that we have a responsibility for our action. We are responsible for our action. Why we cannot control the ultimate fruits of that action. You don't tell God how you want it to be. You say, God, this is what I need. And then zip it up and let God bring it away. But no, we want to control it. And we want it to come the way. If I'm kind to you, I want kindness to be showing and coming. The woman wants peace. But peace is not her personal possession to receive. She must participate in creating it. She plants the seed, she waters it, she protects it, she does her duty, and she releases her attachment to exactly when and how the harvest will come. And we are that woman. We must release. You don't say, well, Lord, I've been kind to people, I've done this, so I should get this in return. And all of us do that. As if God didn't know, the God who created everything didn't know how to take care of things. So when we release our attachment, this is engaged detachment. Fully participating without demanding that the world immediately reward us. And Sikhism encourages service instead of wishful thinking. That's why in Sikh spirituality, the emphasis is on seva, or seva, S-E-V-A, which means selfless service. They are not looking for the result for themselves. They do it. And I think that's the same thing that happened to the guy that started the name goes, the one who builds houses for the Habitat for Humanity. He wasn't expecting anything for himself. That was selfless service. And look at how he grew and he's still happy. If you want a better world, serve. If you want people to experience dignity, treat them with dignity. Apparently that doesn't go on social media. And among politicians, I don't think they treat themselves with dignity, others. If you want hunger to disappear, feed someone. If you want loneliness to disappear, become present to someone. The spiritual question becomes not simply, what do I want God to do? But what can I do through which God's love can become visible? What can I and you do through which God's love can become visible? Again, the seed. Which reminds me of a famous quote attributed to President John F. Kennedy. He says, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. But we don't extend that to God, do we? Taoism tells us to stop forcing and begin cultivating. Tao's thought adds another beautiful dimension. Please listen closely to what I'm about to say here. We cannot force a seed to become a tree by shouting at it. Don't take my word for it. Go out there and shout at it. I'll see where it gets you. We cannot pull on a plant and make it grow faster. We cultivate the conditions. And one of that is patience. It needs to come at its own rhythm. This is an important spiritual lesson because sometimes our desire for immediate change becomes another form of control. Well, I know I've been guilty of it. We pray right now. We want the answer right now. We don't want it next month. We don't know right now. And if it doesn't come right now, we're discouraged. Tell God, what have you done for me lately? We need to nib it in the bud, that instant gratification that we all seek. We want peace now, we say. We want healing now. We want justice now, transformation now. I remember before I went to college, you have to go to the advanced studies. You know, if you watch, what is it called? Harry Potter, you will see it's a British system. And my school principal then, because we want air conditioning, we want this, we want it now, because it was a desert thing. And he said, the answer is no, no, no. There is a protocol. They have to budget, you know, release the fund, and then somebody has to bid for the contract, and then they have to order it, and the order will take some time before it comes, and then they install it. But no. And I learned a lesson from that man. God bless him. His name is Kalinokas. He was a British guy. Yeah, na 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 is no, no, no. So when you want it now, but nature teaches us something different. Growth has a rhythm. It has a rhythm to it. You can't just go from, you know, pre-K and get a PhD. There is a rhythm to it. And Jesus and the Holy Ones, the Shining Ones, they've all said that. That's why when that guy asked Yogananda to give him samadhi, he's like, oh, God bless your heart. He doesn't know what he's asking for. He hasn't grown the capacity, but he wants it because he likes what he's heard about it. Growth has a rhythm. The seed doesn't look impressive when you first plant it, does it? There may be nothing visible beneath the soil. Yet something is happening. And this brings us back to the woman. I think the most revealing part of the story is that she lives without buying anything. Then the question is, why? Why did she live without buying anything? Because she wanted the finished product. She wanted peace without the work of peace. Remember Peace Pilgrim? Nobody would be calling her Peace Pilgrim if she didn't do all that work. She wants reconciliation without forgiveness, justice without sacrifice, harmony without patience, clean air without changing human behavior, strong families without changing ourselves. Does that sound familiar? We are that woman, all of us. Clean air, but then people don't believe in climate change, do they? And then when the things start happening, they still believe no. Then what's the point of lighting candle and calling on God when you won't do your part? And Jesus says, essentially, I can give you the possibility, but you have to participate. That's why Jesus offered her the seed. I'm not going to give you the full, you know, here. They are the packets. That is the uncomfortable truth of spiritual life. There is no spiritual vending machine, but that's what we all want. Just put some quarters and now you know how to do concentration, how to do visualization. Put another quarter. Oh, now you are hanging with Archangel Michael. That's what we love, you know, the vending machine, and we can just distribute it over there. Well, sorry, I hate to say this. There is no spiritual vending machine. There is no shortcut around character, building the character you want that pleases God. There is no prayer that substitutes permanently for practice. That's why they say practice makes perfect. You can't just pray and then you say, I know it all. Well, because that's what we want. We want to pray one single prayer and then we know it all. No? There is no wish powerful enough to eliminate the need for responsibility. Some of you have heard me say this. If wishes were horses, beggars would ride. That old expression fits the story perfectly. We all wishing isn't worthless. Vision matters. You can wish, but vision matters. What is your goal? What is in your wallet? What are you going to do? Every great transformation begins as a possibility imagined in someone's heart, isn't it? That's a, like talking about Habitat for Humanity. It started in that lawyer's heart. Now everybody talks about it. Even the president kind of participated in it. Every great transformation begins as a possibility imagined in someone's heart. So you got to have the vision. And you got to participate. But a vision without action remains a fantasy. For those of you who like to watch a fantasy sci-fi movies. The seed is where the dream becomes a responsibility. And perhaps that is the message we need most today. Don't merely pray for peace, plant peace. Don't merely pray for love, plant love. Don't merely ask for forgiveness, plant forgiveness. Don't complain about dishonesty, plant honesty. Don't demand compassion from everyone else, become compassionate. Isn't that something? We want everybody to be, you know, to have compassion, even on us. But yeah, we don't have that compassionate heart. Don't wait for someone else to make the world better. Start cultivating your small pieces of the garden. And perhaps you and I will never see the entire harvest. That doesn't mean the planting was meaningless. A person may plant a tree under whose shade they will never sit. Isn't that how it goes? Like trees that takes for, you know, and that person might be 80 years old, and by the time that tree grows, then they are gone. A teacher may plant an idea that changes a student's life decades later. A parent might plant a value that continues through generations. That's why in the Christian Bible, say, teach your children the right way. And they will bring you peace. Because then it extends to other generations. They might even share with their own friends. And the parents will be gone. Some of what our parents taught us that are good, and isn't it with us now? Are they still here? No, most of them are gone. A kind word may become a seed in someone's heart that they remember for the rest of their life. And you never know that. You never know when we will make an impact on someone. You tell them something, and it's because it's coming from your heart. You feel that. And it makes a huge difference. Don't they say a kind word is better than giving people millions of, you know, dollars? You know, kind word is better than negative words. That is the mystery of spiritual action. We plant, we nurture, we serve, we trust. Plant, nurture, serve, trust. Someone else may enjoy the harvest And that may be enough. The final lesson, the woman walked into the catalog store asking for a better world. Jesus didn't say no. He said, here are the seeds. That may be one of the most profound answers spirituality can give us. God may not hand us the finished world we dream about. Instead, we are handed something far more meaningful, the opportunity to participate in creating that world that we seek. You and I, every one of us. That story of Gideon never leaves my mind. If I want to, Lord, do this well. Are you ready for me to use you to do that? Well, Lord, let me think about it. So this morning, perhaps the question isn't, what do I wish God would give me? Perhaps the question is, what seed has been placed in my hands? What seed has God given you? Look at your hands, at your palm. What is it God has given you that is in your heart, is in your soul, your spirit, your mind, your consciousness? What will I plant today? Will I plant resentment or forgiveness? Will I plant fear or courage? Will I plant judgment or understanding? Will I plant dishonesty or truth? Will I plant indifference or compassion? So what seed are you and I going to plant today that will make tomorrow better? And when we leave this place today, after our service is over, we should remember the world we dream about is built from the seeds we plant today. This is not a store of finished products. This is a place of dreams. And the dreams come in seed packets. The question is not whether we can have the dream. The question is, are we willing to plant it? Are we willing to plant honesty? You plant honesty and you will reap trust. You plant goodness and you will forge authentic friendships. You plant humility and you will reap depth. We plant perseverance and we will reap contentment and deep joy. I'm sure we all love that. We plant consideration and you and I will reap bright vision and perspective. We plant hard work and we will reap real success. We plant forgiveness and we will reap reconciliation and possible new beginnings. Isn't that the name of our community? So we start with forgiveness. We reap reconciliation and possible new beginnings. So are we willing to plant it? May we always plant the right seeds. Amen.
Amen. Amen.